Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit, now celebrating 30 years. Our topic today is healthy weight management, and joining us is Dr. Gaetano Morello. Gaetano is a licensed naturopathic doctor in Vancouver. He is a clinician at the Complex Chronic Disease Program at the BC Women's Hospital. Dr. Morello is both an educator and an author with published papers in the British Journal of Pharmacology. Good morning, doctor, and welcome to Insights for Health.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
There's a lot of frustration when it comes to weight loss and weight management, isn't there?
I think every year there's a new book out on weight loss. Well, it's frustrating for all of us, you know, to see a 1 year or a certain diet come out, and then 2 years later, a whole different diet comes out by the same authors. You know, I think that's confusing and frustrating for everybody.
Is there a best weight for people?
I think the best weight for people, if you're eating a healthy diet, and what's a healthy diet? I think most of us know what a healthy diet is, what we've been taught, what we see, what we read. So that's one. And then secondly, we all know the importance of movement. Bodies were made to move. That's why there's muscles in our bodies. That's why we have bones in our bodies. And so if you get enough movement, enough exercise, and you're eating fairly healthy, I think that's your healthy weight. If you deviate from that, in other words, if you don't move as much because you're sitting on the couch watching TV, and we've all heard about couch potato, you're eating a lot of foods that are more refined and aren't so healthy, like the average Canadian consumes over 200 pounds of refined sugar a year, you know, that's not going to help you. And so that's going to create an off balance or an off weight. You know, I don't think there's a number that we can give. I mean, I know there's numbers out there that we do give, but I think having a healthy weight would be living a healthy lifestyle. I think that relates to a healthy weight.
Yeah, every decade, you know, as we age, it seems our weight and our size changes. A lot of folks try to achieve what they were a previous decade or two decades ago. I mean, is that even realistic?
Living through it, no. I think there's things that change. I think you can maintain a pretty healthy weight, but as you get older, you know, things change. So you have to change. It's not the smartest and the strongest who survive. Those that can adapt. And as we get older, we know that metabolism slows down. We know that certain hormones slow down. We know that we accumulate more toxins in our bodies, and that can impact our metabolism. I think I shared this with you a while back, where chemical toxins released from fat into the blood can impact thyroid, and that slows down your metabolism. So my point that I'm trying to make is, yes, you're right, you're correct. It's really hard to get back to the original weight because of all these changes that are occurring. But if you can adapt to those changes, perhaps you can maintain, you know, close to the weight that you were when you were younger. Young adulthood, you know, your 20s or even early 30s. Can we maintain that? To some degree we can, but we have to be adaptive to the changing of our environment, changing of our bodies.
Yeah, so to see those charts and all those indexes, that's not really an accurate reflection of an individual. I mean, that's an average that they'll put out there. But the individual has to find their own space.
Correct. And think about it. What identifies us from every other person? Our DNA. So we are unique individuals. Each one of us is unique. Not only do we have a unique DNA, we have a unique microbiome. It's almost like a fingerprint. So we are different. So you can average, but the average does not reflect of who you are. So because they just put a whole bunch of averages together, go, oh, that's the ideal way. Not necessarily.
So folks will go on to a dietary program and they'll lose some weight, but there's a difference between water loss and fat loss. Can you just explain some of that?
Yeah, you know, it takes about 3,600 calories to gain a pound. So it takes 3,600 calories to lose a pound. So if we think about just exercise from just that perspective, what it takes running on that treadmill for 20 minutes, it says you just lost 150 calories. Like, oh my God, that's it? So it kind of gives you an indication of what it takes to lose 3,600 calories, to lose a pound. So when you go on a weight loss program and, you know, you lose 2 or 3 pounds in a day or 2 or 3 days, that's really not weight loss. That's more water loss. Real weight loss, which is, you know, losing fat, you know, that takes a lot longer. So there's a big difference. A proper weight loss should be as gradual as you gained it. And that allows the body to make its adjustments as you progress. So you didn't gain 20 pounds or 30 pounds over a month, over 2 weeks. You gain that over a long period of time, and it takes the same kind of time to lose it. I think that's more healthy weight loss. Losing X amount of pounds a month, you know, 5, 6 pounds, even 7 pounds. I mean, I think that's realistic. And your body adjusts to that new weight. And I think that's the proper mechanism of weight loss, a 6-month process, real weight loss that stays off.
I heard an interesting point a while back, and it's on the physiology of the body, where the body memorizes its maximum weight, and it wants to always go back there. Can you explain what that is?
There's a set point, and I think everybody's experienced it to some degree, where you go and you lose 5-6 pounds in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And then what happens, right? We go back to our old habits. All of a sudden, you gain that 6 pounds back. It seems to go right back to the weight that you originally were. And so that's kind of the idea about a set point to your environment, to what you do, to what your physiology is telling your body internally. And so that's set to better understand. Set point can change. There was an interesting study done in 2003 in a weight loss program that also involved some exercise. What they found that all these individuals were losing fat. What was interesting is the parameters they measured. So they measured, obviously, they measured the fat content in the body, how much fat these individuals lost. But they also measured 60 other parameters. And one of the parameters that was of interest to me was T3, which is your active thyroid hormone, which is involved in metabolism. And so what they found was, as these participants were losing weight, and when you're losing weight, you're losing fat, as the fat was coming off inside their bodies, organochlorines were being released. And these are a form of pesticide, because a lot of compounds can be stored in fat. A lot of these toxins are fat soluble. As those compounds were being released, what interfered with the conversion of T4 to T3. T3 is your very active thyroid hormone. And so they had very significant drops in T3, in their thyroid hormone, which slowed down their metabolism during this fat loss period. Then when they went back to their original lifestyle and diet, they gained the weight back, but they gained more than the weight they had lost because their metabolisms had dropped. So in that particular situation, or that descriptive, does that mean that there's a new set point? Well, from this angle, it does mean that, because you've just changed your metabolism and you change it because of chemical toxins. So one of the things that we can learn from that observation is that when we're doing weight loss, I think we should do it slowly and gradually. At the same time, understand that toxins are being emitted from the fat, and that we need binders to bind those to get them out of the body. And this is where I'm a big believer in the fiber concept. This is where fiber comes in and plays a role.
And it gives you an opportunity, by looking at it in the long term, to change your lifestyle and your habits to compensate and to adjust.
You know, Dave, I would say that success in anything we do is based on habits, like you just said. The habit is the key to do something consistently. And if you do something consistently, you will get an outcome with that. Doing something over and over and over and over again, it becomes habitual. And then that's how you achieve success from a weight loss perspective, from a physiological perspective, from whatever perspective. It's all about a repetitive thing. So if you consume, you know, a piece of cake today because you're celebrating something, it's fine. But if you start consuming it every day, you're going to have a problem.
So there's a neuroactivity going on in the brain relative to food. Can you touch on that and explain what's going on there, doctor?
There's a couple of hormones that people are familiar with, leptin and ghrelin. So, you know, leptin is the fullness hormone. So the fullness hormone tells you that you're full, and so your hunger drops. And there's the other hormone called ghrelin, and ghrelin is a hunger hormone. So if you have lots of ghrelin going on, you're going to be hungry all the time. If you have lots of leptin going on, you will be less hungry. So you feel more full. And there's even, you know, there's even leptin sensitivity or insensitivity, where the leptin isn't as active or as effective as it used to be for whatever reason. There's a whole bunch of reasons. And, you know, the leptin's controlled in the hypothalamus and the ghrelin's more in the gut, which is interesting, right? You know, the gut-brain axis. So it's interesting that fullness hormone is more active in the hypothalamus, while the ghrelin, the hunger hormone, is more active in the gut. So again, this kind of points to, is the gut, does that play a role with those studies that they did in animals and rats? Now, again, rats don't reflect human, but they do give us indications or ideas, where they took genetically obese rat and they took the microbiome, the bacteria of those rats, and they infused genetically rats that had no microbiome but were lean, and they infused those rats with those bacteria, and all of a sudden those rats became obese. They did the same thing with genetically lean rats, where they took the microbiome from those rats, they injected into rats of normal weight, and those rats became thin. So is there something going on from a microbiome perspective that impacts our weight as well? Because there is this communication between the gut and the brain. And so in my work, and I work with complex diseases, one of the things that we have looked at, and this could be a really important tie, does bacteria create issues with metabolism, create issues with absorption of nutrients? Because yes, they do. So could this be one of the ways that from an overweight issue, because we don't have a properly functioning digestive tract, creating issues within the ghrelins because these bacteria are consuming some of the nutrients, and therefore you're always hungry. So is this part of the mechanism, and therefore interference with the communication with the brain and the leptins and all sorts of things happen? So that is to throw a twist to everything and to see that the gut is playing a role in all this as well.
Yeah, that's one thing we'll often say at the store. You know, folks come in, and, you know, if your gut is healthy, a lot of things go away.
Absolutely. You know, Hippocrates says that all diseases begin in the gut. Overweight is a human habit disease. How much is the gut responsible for this? How much does it play a role in it? The majority of people that come in, they're going to have some kind of gut issue. So this is very common.
We also know that exercise is an absolute priority for everyone. You touched on it a little bit earlier about being active to maintain good health and to maintain healthy weight. But what role does exercise play in weight loss?
I think it plays a lot of roles. It's going to improve circulation. And we know that circulation is critically important to health. Why is circulation important? Because it brings red blood cells. It brings oxygen to every cell in the body, because every cell in the body relies on oxygen. Why does it rely on oxygen? Simple. What oxygen does goes inside the cell. Each cell is like a factory. Every factory, in order for it to function, needs electricity, needs energy. And the energy of the electricity of the body is called ATP. And so oxygen goes inside that cell, and then it only goes to one spot. And the one spot it goes to is the mitochondria. And it goes through a series of steps in the mitochondria and produces the body's electricity called ATP. The most important element in life is just oxygen. All it does goes inside the mitochondria to produce electricity. In that regard, in that point, if that is not functioning optimally, nothing functions normally. Because without the electricity, without the energy, nothing's going to work. Because all those cells require that. One of the things that exercise can do is it can stimulate mitochondria, or the regenesis of mitochondria. So mitochondria get remade all the time. They actually have their own DNA. And so it's important to be moving around, because that will enhance mitochondrial function. It wakes them, it makes them more active, and it also creates new mitochondria. The genesis of mitochondria are reliant on exercise. So that's one thing it does. So one, circulation. Two, enhances mitochondria. Three, stimulates movement, which stimulates muscle. Instead of having muscle atrophy, you get muscle growth. And what do muscles do? They stimulate metabolism. The more muscle cells you have, your metabolic rate goes up, which is another contributing factor to weight loss. So I think exercise has a number of different importance, and not even to mention the importance of, you know, the endorphin release, which makes you feel happier. And if you feel happier, better things will happen.
Doctor, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, let's continue our conversation on the benefits of managing our weight.
Sure.